Welcome to Life and Other Catastrophes. Professor Jane Fisher is here with me. She's the Jean Hales Professor of Women's Mental Health at Monash University. We're talking about living alone. A few statistics for you. In the last 50 years, 8 times as many people have started are now living on their own. 8 times as many people in the 5 decades preceding. Society and technology, of course, make it so much easier for people to live on their own. Jane Fisher is here. Hi there, Jane.
Hello.
Before we ask people to call in, 1-300-222-774, you might love to hear from you if you live alone, the good and the bad. What do you make of it?
Well, I think it's a very interesting thing. I'm looking forward to what people participating in our discussion this afternoon tell us. But as you've just said, we know that at the moment about 1 in 10 Australians live alone. And for some, this is probably by choice. This is the way they prefer it to be. But for many, it's probably as a result of circumstances and not necessarily circumstances of their choosing. And so it's a living arrangement that they might prefer not to be in.
Yeah.
And we know that there are some advantages. Some people say they really like the autonomy it gives them, the chance to make independent decisions about all aspects of how they manage their domestic lives. But for others, they really describe it as being isolated and lonely, as though they have to initiate every encounter rather than just have interactions available because you're living together.
Sure.
And that people experience different kinds of financial stress when they live alone compared to those who are in a household.
Yeah, I'd love to know about that. I mean, it might be your choice. You might decide that, hey, it's just easier to live your life, and I know that technology and society allows you to do that. 1-300-222-774. Or you might hate it. Maybe you just got, you know, maybe we end up being on our own by circumstance, by job. We move around. We don't live in small family units anymore. Let me know what you think. 1-300-222-774. What do you think are the drivers behind it?
Well, the Institute of Family Studies, Australia's Institute of Family Studies, has done some pretty comprehensive investigation of this, and they think there are about 3 groups who are predominantly those who live alone. There's younger people aged around 25 to 34, and they seem to be people who no longer want to live with their parents. They've outgrown that, but they either elect not to live in shared arrangements or they feel they've outgrown
those.
They get
sick of the share house.
So there's that group who are living alone. The next group is the group in which men predominate, which is groups where a relationship has ended and the children tend to live more with the primary caregiver, who's the mum. And this is the midlife group from the mid-30s to the mid-50s in which men predominate in households. And these are often, I think, households where people living in that arrangement say it's not their choice and they'd prefer not to be in there lonely. And then the other biggest group is older people. And because life expectancy has now grown, and in the age group 75 and above, the large proportion of people living alone in that age group are women.
Yeah, of course.
Whose
men
life expectancy is longer than men's.
Good for you, bad for me.
Yeah, exactly.
So
it would be interesting to hear from all these different groups of people how they find this experience.
Yeah. Well, Claire has called from Rosebud. Hi there, Claire. How are you going?
Good. How are you?
I'm very well. Tell me your story.
I'm 42 and I live on my own. I've never been married and I don't have any kids. And I've been living, I shared a flat with one of my brothers for about 13 years, but now I'm on my own in my own little unit down in Rosebud. So, and it can be hard. It can be hard financially. I'm on a disability pension, but I do work part-time as well. But sometimes it's hard feeling like you have to do everything on your own and that you haven't got anyone to back you up if anything goes wrong.
I think you capture it very well, Claire. Can you tell us about some of the bits that you think are good about living alone rather than perhaps living with your brother or with other people?
It's less stress. You've got a lot more freedom. You don't have to run your life around other people. I can eat when I want, I can go to sleep when I want, and if I get up in the middle of the night, it's not going to disturb anyone. I've got full control of the remote, the TV remote.
very important.
So, it can be lonely too, but I do like the freedom. It wasn't what I chose for my life, and I never expected to be on my own, but there are advantages that I find it would be very hard to give up.
Could you imagine if your circumstances changed that you would perhaps want to live with someone else in the future?
Possibly. I had a friend and her kids stay at my place just a couple of weeks ago because their plumbing went, and they stayed for 10 days. And it was sort of quite good having people in the house, and then she was a mother, my friend, so we shared the cooking and the kids helped out, and it was quite a nice vibe in the house. And
what couldn't you give up? You mentioned there before there were some things you didn't want to give up. Is it that independence you don't want to give up?
Yeah, I think so. And just the freedom to come and go as you please. And if you want to do something, you can. You're not putting anyone out. And you're not hurting anyone emotionally by the things that you do. Sure. And they're not hurting you. So there's not really the misunderstandings that can come along with relationships.
Thanks very much for talking to us about your experience, Claire.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot, Claire.
Bye.
Let's have a quick word to Ron. He's got a point to make, calling from Richmond. Hi there, Ron.
Hi, interesting. Was that 8 times as many people live alone than 50 years ago? Did I hear that?
Yeah, that's a Western World figure that I found. But never know how good your internet research can be. But that's a English language speaking country figure.
Yeah, well, I work for one of the housing associations, and that's just flabbergasting because we have a housing shortage in the country, and we're building large places all of the time, and. Yep. I suppose you add that to breakdowns of relationships over the years, more so than years ago, would explain why we've got such a housing shortage.
Yeah, it's interesting your point, and what the Institute of Family Studies tells us is that by almost all the people, the younger and mid-aged groups who are living alone are living in apartments or flats. The people who tend still to be living in houses are widows who are living in the house that they had owned together when they were part of a couple or a family. So you're right, the population overall is growing, including people with families where they want the houses you're building, but people living alone tend to be living more in apartments and flats.
It's interesting. We went the other way with my mum when she was ready to move out of her house.
Oh yeah,
sold 2 places and built one big house with a single roof line, which is really 2 separate, totally separate dwellings.
Yeah, right. And she was happy with that.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay. Look, thanks a lot for calling in, Ron. Let's have a quick word to Paul, who's called from Sandringham. Hi, Paul.
G'day, Rob. How are you?
I'm good. Do you say Sandringham or Sandringham? I never know.
I'm actually working in Sandringham, but I say Sandringham, but that could be my English heritage that says that.
Yeah, okay. What's your story?
Yeah, for just on 2 years, I actually worked away from home by choice, and that gave me an opportunity to see both sides of the fence. You know, the one thing I did like about being on my own away was that, you know, I didn't have to, not so much ask permission to do things, but not consider anybody else. If I wanted to go play golf, I just went and played golf.
Off you go.
Have a few beers, I did that. But the more detrimental side and the thing that actually stopped me from working away was missing the family.
Yeah, of
course. We'd only see each other maybe once a month. And as much as playing golf is fantastic, and I enjoy that, being with the family is better, so... Now, for those people that do live on their own, I can understand that there are positives, but from my perspective, it's way more negative to be on your own than to be in a family or in a relationship.
Yeah, sure.
I think your story illustrates really a contemporary phenomenon that often people are placed in these situations because of their employment, and we're hearing increasingly about fly-in, fly-out families, some of the time they're living apart and some of the time together.
There's an interesting text here. Actually, my husband works night shift and I often feel like I live alone. Of course, it's not the same, but it can be a lonely life at times. Mm. Good to hear your story, Paul. Thank you. And Luke from Preston has texted in as well. I live alone with my dog, the best company ever. As the Fove said, dogs are the best people. And there's a little smile there as well. There's an interesting one here from Liz, who's texted on the Geelong Freeway. I have no friends, no partner, cut off from family. Why wouldn't I live alone? Misery doesn't like company. It prefers isolation. So that's a bit of a sadder text there from Liz. I don't know if you want to give us a ring and call. I hope you do have someone to chat to there, though.
Yeah, and we would be interested to hear from her.
Yeah. Look, we call this Life and Other Catastrophes. Jane Fisher is here. She's the Jean Hales Professor of Women's Mental Health at Monash University. It's coming up to about 14 minutes to four. You're listening to 774 ABC Melbourne. And I like this text from Michael. Hi, Raph. I lived with my girlfriend for 9 years in my 20s. I've lived alone ever since, and I hate it. The good things don't make up for the loneliness. That's from Michael. So, look, I'd love to know how you cope, I guess. If you do feel like you're living alone and you're lonely, what do you do when you're lonely? Who do you ask for? Who do you go out and meet? 1-300-222-774. Do you think we've come to terms with the fact yet that there's going to be a lot more people living on their own?
Well, I think it's good that it's now part of public discourse and sure. People are talking about it, but there are some interesting cultural differences, including right. In Australia.
Yeah.
And that it seems that people who are of Southeast Asian or Chinese heritage are much less likely to live alone than other groups. And I think that what they tend to form more than we do is multi-generation households.
Yeah,
so
sure.
Perhaps the widowed parent tends to move in to live with their son or daughter and their children. And that perhaps was a pattern we had more in the past and less in the present. And it would be interesting to know how people feel about that. Is it by choice that they don't move in with their other family members, or do they feel unwelcome?
Is there a social indicator? The longer you've had a healthy consumption lifestyle within a culture, does it lead to more and more people living alone?
Yeah.
Interesting question. Alan has called from Frankston South. Hi there, Alan.
Hi there, Raph. I was just calling in to say that I've lived alone for, well, most of my adult life. I looked after my son from when he was 8 through to when he was 18 and he went to university and then subsequently to England. And I think that living alone makes one entirely self-centred and selfish. I've had a couple of long-term relationships which have been wonderful because the other party lived close by.
Right, but you lived in separate houses.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, we get together when we want to.
Yep.
And otherwise, I can sit down, watch what I want to do, watch on TV, listen to 774 most of the day, get some work done when I want to, sit up all night. I can do whatever I like.
So you like the autonomy and the independence?
Yeah. Sometimes it's a bit of a hassle when you have challenges and you've got to work them out pretty well
solo.
On your own. But, I can eat what I want to when I want to. It's
what wonderful. Do you do when you are lonely, Alan? How do you resolve that?
I very rarely get lonely because, I've always got the computer or, the telephone or whatever, and the other party lives close by, and it's just a matter of giving a call and saying, well, how about we get together this evening and spend a couple of days together or whatever. Yeah, terrific.
I think you raise an interesting example there, because one of the things that's thought to influence this is the access to the internet and to using social media as a way of making connection. Would you say you do that? Do you connect with people on the internet, even if they're not people you see face-to-face?
No, not really. Basically because, most of the internet work I do is business-related.
Sure.
But, as I say, I've got some very close friends, and, I've had them for a number of years, and, both of them live close by, and they're only a phone call away, or just a 5-minute drive or whatever. So very rarely does one get a chance to get lonely, but sometimes. I mean, at the moment I am because Telstra have screwed me over.
Best wishes.
They've connected my next-door neighbour's telephone line to my telephone.
Look, thanks, Alan. I think if you live alone or in a multiple group house, you'll probably find that a telecommunications company can stuff up. I don't think they discriminate on that basis. Thanks, Alan. Let's have a quick chat to Tanya, who's called from Ballarat. Hi there, Tanya.
Hi, Raph. How are you going?
I'm good.
That's good. I just was calling up because I live alone. I lived with my partner for 4 years and am no longer with my partner, but I've moved from Melbourne to Ballarat and I live alone. and I cannot sing its praises highly enough. I can do whatever I want. I've got a massive vegetable garden. I've got chickens. I've got a dog and cat to keep me company. And I've actually made a lot of friends here.
Right.
So it's actually, I think it's brilliant. If you make the effort and set yourself up so that you have got some kind of networks, then you don't end up being lonely, I found.
Yeah. Do you see this as a permanent state or a temporary part of your life?
The living alone part?
Yeah.
Look, I think if I was to meet somebody, I would happily share a house with them, but I don't think I would live well with a person, like, as a housemate.
Uh-huh.
I think, you know, I'm prepared to make compromises for a partner, but there's a lot of things now where, you know, you get to a certain point and you're very set in your ways and you've got your particular interests and, you know, I'm very environmentally minded and, and I'm very involved in sustainability and permaculture, and I could not live with somebody who left the lights on.
Yeah, sure.
Or didn't turn things off at the PowerPoint.
So you're not opposed to living with a partner in the future, but you wouldn't do the share house thing again?
No, not at all. I don't think so. I think I'd struggle to find anybody that I'd be able to make those compromises for just as a housemate. So,
yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
A few of your text messages I just want to get through to, and then we'll get some more of your calls as well. Larry in Tongala has texted, I think people confuse being alone with being lonely. Nice point. Jen in Reservoir has texted, you missed a large group of women without children and divorced, and it is a lonely and miserable life. Somebody else texting in anonymously, the mining industry has many fly-in and fly-outs. There's a large suicide rate with this demographic that work long hours and get paid well, but are isolated in these mining towns. Sad but true. And Damien has texted, 10-day Vipassana course cured my loneliness. Yes, 10 days of enforced silence and meditation in a particular type of, is that insight meditation?
Is it meditation? Recall. Yeah.
But 10 days of a Vipassana silent meditation course. Yeah, that's interesting, Damon. Interesting to know how that would change your view of the world. Let's have a chat to Leslie, who's calling from Raglan. Hi there, Leslie. How are you going?
Okay. Yeah, I'm 70 and I live alone out. Well, I'm 10 kilometres from the nearest shops. And
where is Raglan, Leslie?
It's out of Beaufort, and Beaufort is on the Western Highway, halfway between Ballarat and Ararat.
Yeah, okay.
But what I do is I do volunteer work one day a week, and I've got groups that I go to on another 2 days, and
right.
I do Tai Chi on another morning with church and playing croquet. I found I just keep myself occupied.
So you've taken a lot of initiative to make sure that there is structure in your days and that you're brought in contact with other people.
Yes. Mm. Yes, you've got to do that. You've got to reach out.
Sure. And how does the Tai Chi impact on your life, Leslie? I'm interested in Tai Chi.
Oh, well, it does help your balance and your flexibility and your strength. And I think now that I'm this age, that if I keep doing it, I'll be healthier in my 80s.
Yeah, fantastic. And you're okay living miles from the shop? So have you got a little bit of space around the house? Or
I've got 2 acres here.
Oh, nice. Any animals?
I've got 4 sheep who are friends on the acre and a half. And I've got a dog.
Oh, fantastic. And the sheep there to keep the grass
yes.
to keep the grass cut or for companionship as well?
No, just to keep the grass
just
cut.
Just to keep the grass cut. Okay, well done. Thanks, Leslie. Appreciate it.
Okay, Raph.
See
bye.
You later. Steve has called too from Geelong. Hi there, Steve.
G'day, folks. I'm listening to the program, enjoying it. I'd like to say that this was something for you to think about. Although I live with a partner of many years, married that is, and we have a lot of children, I, over the recent years, say 10 years, and I'm an elderly man, I feel alone when I am with my wife, and especially alone when our many children come to visit with the grandchildren. Maybe I'm a selfish person, but I feel a total lack of connection, and I feel very, very lonely and put off by the shallow conversation and the lack of meeting of minds that I experience when they're all there. And I find that when I'm off walking, I train myself physically. And when
right.
I do that, or when I take my dog for a walk or go hunting or do something, I feel more at peace, happy and less alone, although I'm out in the open with the dog. And then when I'm with the family and I'm actually at a late time of life, I've actually find myself thinking of saying to my partner, like, I'll sell. You won't suffer financially and I won't, and we'll go our separate ways and we can still see or visit, but I feel like I am
an island.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I ask, have you... I don't think it's that uncommon, to be honest, to feel lonely even in a family situation. It's hard to maintain social connection with people outside the family, and it's hard to find connection with people, sometimes even though they're the people closest to us. I'm not sure that that's that uncommon. Have you tried to address that? Because feeling shut off from people, even though they're close to you, not too uncommon. Have you taken any steps maybe? Have you discussed that with your partner or discussed that with anyone else?
No, occasionally I have tried to approach my partner, but there seems to be no, and I don't have to say this, qualify this. I mean, we still share the same bed, we still get on well.
Sure.
There's nothing, no hate going on or anything.
I understand
but,
that.
But she seems to be, I don't mean to criticize, she is not actually into that sort of sharing. And and the kids seem to be, you know, it's all, grandkids are all remote video toys and stuff, and I might say to them, let's go and do this and that, but the kids, there doesn't seem to be respect.
So you're striving a bit of connection and authenticity in your life, aren't you, Steve? That's what you're missing.
Yeah, well, I feel like I'm alone in life. I have considered taking my own life, but that I don't...
So, Steve, that's where I'm kind of trying to get to. I think there are a lot of people out there who can help you. There are a lot of really quite simple steps that you can take to help maintain or get a bit of connection with people. You can ring numbers like Lifeline, which I really urge you to do.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are other groups as well. I mean, you don't need to ring Lifeline. You know, there are men's support groups. I think it's pretty common as a man to feel cut off from particularly your partner and your children.
I think one of the movements that's been very important in this regard is the men's shed movement.
Yeah.
And I'd really encourage you, Steve, to try and find out a bit more about that, because that is particularly set up for men in perhaps comparable situations who want some companionship with other men to do something positive, and it might well be a valuable place for you to look. And you can find the information about that on the Beyond Blue website.
Yeah.
Yes, I take your advice, and I must take an after this, I think, because I did not like taking the giving up exits. That's weak, I think. But the thing is, an example, I send presents to my grandkids.
Hey, Steve, listen, Steve, I don't want to interrupt you, but I'm going to need to because we're coming up to the news. Listen, this is just a personal plea from me. No, that's okay. There are people who can help. You can do things to help you get connection with the people who are closest to you. And ringing someone like Lifeline isn't just about, oh, my God, it's about to be the end of my world as I know it. They can just help put you on to other people. There's the men's movement. There's the men's shed movement.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
Beyond Blue. Take the step. And it can make a huge difference.
Thank you. I send presents to my grandkids' money and that, and they don't even respond or answer to me, but I will take your advice. And thanks for listening to me.
It's a pleasure, Steve. Listen, we all crave a bit of connection, so don't be afraid to put your hand out for some help. There you go. Sorry, look, we won't have time to get to any more of your calls. Jane Fisher's been with me. Thank you very much, Jane.
Thank you for having me.
Jane is the Jean Hales Professor of Women's Health at Monash University.